Let's go to the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline and joining from Cleveland, I'm the plane dealer, Indians beat reporter, my buddy, Zach Meisel. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about this streak that the Indians are on here? 7 of their last 10. What is different for them, would you say?
Well, it's you can draw a pretty simple correlation here. I mean, they went on the 9-game winning streak.
Yep.
They lost 3 in a row. Now they've won 2 in a row. In those 3 losses, their starting pitchers logged a combined 8 2/3 innings.
Mm.
The last 2 nights, Corey Kluber goes 9, Trevor Bauer goes 7. So you can see the bullpen had to work really hard those 3 days. The rotation struggled, put a lot of pressure on the offense to deliver. So it's pretty clear when they get good starting pitching, that's the key ingredient.
If we go back to that with their starting pitching, there was a lot of conversation around the trade deadline that the Indians should have gone that direction. Tough to count on Danny Salazar, tough to count on Trevor Bauer. They chose not to, though, at least for now. Do you think that was the right call by this organization, or do you think they missed out by not adding a starter?
Well, I think knowing the price tags, the market,
okay,
you take everything into consideration. Because, look, I know the trade deadline passed, and then the Indians immediately lost 2 ugly games to the Red Sox, lost Andrew Miller to injury, lost Josh Tomlin for 6 weeks. The timing was terrible, and it made the front office look like they were sitting on their hands and missed an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they weren't going to get a starting pitcher better than what they have in the 3, 4, 5 spots now unless they wanted to give up Francisco Mejia, and they didn't want to do that. So I think understanding that and knowing Mejia's probably going to make an impact, if not in September, then certainly next season, then it's hard to say that, yeah, they should have gone out and traded Mejia for Sutton Gray or traded a group of prospects to get Yu Darvish for 2 months, something like that. I mean, there were no easy answers this deadline. I mean, it was a quiet deadline. There weren't many marquee names moved. And with the Indians farm system, they've got Mejia, they've got Tristan McKenzie, and maybe Bobby Bradley. And then there's a pretty steep drop-off. So they weren't going to get that obvious answer unless they parted with their top guys, and they didn't want to do that. So in that regard, I don't think I blame them for that. It's just, you know, I'm sure in any other year, if there's some guy out there who makes more sense and is an innings eater and can help you out, they probably would have done it. There weren't that many guys out there. You want to add Jaime Garcia and have him take a turn every 5 days.
Right.
I mean, that's not really going to make you better. So I don't have a problem with what they did, but it's kind of an unfortunate circumstance just because, yeah, they probably could use some help.
Talking with Zach Meisel, Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer Indians beat reporter. He joins on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. There's the waiver process that can still be in place. Do you expect the Indians to look that direction, or do you think they're set with what they have?
No, I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they added another reliever.
Okay.
Especially, it doesn't sound like Andrew Miller is going to miss a huge chunk of time, but, you know, but given the rotation and kind of the unstable nature of it, yeah, you might have to use your bullpen a lot. And until you get to September, you've only got 7 or 8 guys out there. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see them pick up a veteran reliever. It's pretty easy to do this time of year. Just for depth purposes, they signed Craig Breslow to a minor league deal. So they're going to probably look at every lefty out there who's available. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to do anything big. I don't think they're going to get Justin Verlander or Jay Bruce, but they'll be active. They'll find some depth guys maybe that can help in here and ease the burden on guys who might be overworked.
Zach, Danny Salazar going tonight. In his last 2 outings, they've been promising. What do you make of the last 2 and whether he can continue this moving forward?
Yeah, he set a pretty high bar already for himself moving forward. Now we expect him to throw a no-hitter every time out. It's a combination of health for one, and I think peace of mind. And so the result of those equals confidence. And when you have a kid who can throw 97, 98, paint it on the black, and then come back with a nasty splitter, if he's confident in those 2 pitches, that's pretty dangerous. So I think, you know, it's easy to overreact to 2 starts, but when you have a guy who just seemed completely lost for a year, and you didn't know, you know, was the injury serious? Was it a mental thing? Kind of the vague nature of that it was the most alarming aspect. And so it's just good to see he seems relaxed and he seems confident, and that makes him aggressive, and you've seen the results. So, look, I don't think he's going to throw seven scoreless every time he goes out there, but if he can just be your number three starter, that gives you as good of a 1-2-3 as almost any team out there, and that's really what you rely upon in October.
Man, Zach, it's so interesting that you bring up the mental side of it with him, and other people have too. Other people close to the team have said the same thing, and it just, I guess I wonder about it because he is so friggin' talented and he has such great stuff. It's hard for me to process that guy with that kind of stuff going through confidence issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you can see it in any sport. I mean, what do they tell the shooters who are supposed to be good shooters but can't hit a shot? You got to keep shooting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in football, if you're an offensive lineman and you blow a few assignments and you lose that confidence, that's, you need that edge. And Salazar just didn't have that edge out there. And I think that makes it so easy to, because then you're trying to be too fine and you're trying to be cute and maybe throw a pitch right exactly where you want it. And you fall behind in some counts. And then all of a sudden you have to come back in the strike zone with your fastball and the hitter's sitting on it. I mean, it's a slippery slope. And so confidence is the number one thing. And not only that, but it's confidence in that he knows he can throw a 97-mile-an-hour fastball and his shoulder won't be hurting afterwards. Mm-hmm. So there was a period of time, especially last year, where he was nervous every time he went out there that his elbow or his shoulder was going to pop every pitch he threw. So you don't have that weighing on your mind, and you have the conviction in every pitch. It makes a big difference, and it doesn't matter what sport you're playing, but if you have that I know I can beat you attitude, that gives you a little extra.
Talking with Indians beat reporter Zach Meisel, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer. I was talking before the break about the conundrum that the Indians are going to be in soon with some of their guys, Zach, coming off the DL, and Jason Kipnis and Lonnie Chisenhall, and Kipnis was disappointing before he went on the DL, and Giovanni Urshela has taken over for him in a way that he goes to third and Jose Ramirez to second, and it seems like, I don't know if the numbers back this up, but it seems like the defense has gotten significantly better and more consistent because of that. And Gio is making these highlight reel plays, and I know that he doesn't have a great bat or things like that, but he's helping the pitching staff, and he's saving runs. And Terry Francona talked about a game-saving play last night. So how do you think the Indians handle the whole Jason Kipnis coming off the DL thing, and do you think there should be some kind of conversation about it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because if Kipnis had been hitting 290 with a good on-base percentage beforehand, this wouldn't even be a conversation. Even though the defense is substantially better the way it's been situated the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you certainly can ease him into this. You don't have to play him every day right off the bat. But at the same time, it's tricky because you want him to return to that hitter that he's been in the past. And to do that, he probably needs to get in a rhythm and play just about every day. So there's a catch-22 here, and it's not going to be easy for Terry Francona to solve. And I think it's just going to be kind of matchup-based. I mean, if they're facing a tough lefty, probably makes more sense to play Urshela at third, give Kipnis a day off, bring him off the bench. But, you know, how little can you play Kipnis if you expect him to – because if he's not hitting, if he's not getting in a groove at the plate, he's pointless. You know, he's redundant on the roster, and you'd rather have the defensive upgrade and the continuity on defense. So this is tough, and this question's not going to go away either because he's making a pretty hefty sum of money next year and beyond. And so these are questions that are going to linger over the offseason too, I'm sure. And it's a matter of, especially if you're Kipnis, I think you have you definitely have something to prove here. And this isn't a matter of just coming back in and claiming your job and easing back into it like he has in years past when he's battled injuries. This is, you know, there are people who have proven they deserve some playing time. And so if he can't turn it around, if that first few months wasn't necessarily a mirage, then the Indians they've got some looking in the mirror to do.
Zach, at this point, I know 30's not necessarily old, But at this point, who do you think Kipnis is as a player?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I don't want to be blinded by what he went through the first few months at the plate.
Okay.
Because he's been dealing with a lot of injuries.
Okay.
And but at the same time, you can't just discount those injuries because he is 30. And he's had a lot of injuries in his career, little nicks and bruises, stuff that has lingered throughout seasons. He had that one year where his oblique muscle tore and he played through it for a while. And he paid for it in the end with his stat line. And so it's you want to take everything into consideration. But he certainly is not the most nimble second baseman anymore. He, for a long time, he hasn't had the greatest arm, and he'll be the first to tell you that. And so the luxury of him, the reason why you pay him this money at this point, is because you hope you're getting a lot of production at the top of your order. Mm-hmm. But if he can't do that, and if he can't be the type of hitter who really – there were certain months over the last couple of years where he carried the lineup. You know, he had that May where he had 50 hits. He had another month – I think last year where he came close to that. If he can't do that, if he can't be that guy, then, you know, I don't think you're getting your money's worth in any phase of the game. So it's something they've got to figure out. I think we also want to make sure we don't get carried away by two incredible plays by Urshela last night. And
right.
Yes, he's excellent defensively. Eric Gonzalez is excellent defensively. Those guys still have to prove they can hit too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not an easy answer. And I think Jason Kipnis is making a little too much money to maybe be pigeonholed into like a platoon situation for the next couple of years. But this is something they're going to have to figure out. And I think the one guy who faces the most pressure in this situation, without a doubt, is Kipnis.
So I know that baseball is not played in a vacuum. And so much is about matchups, especially, Zach, if you get to the postseason. But which team in the American League do you think has the best chance against the Indians?
Well, it's easy to say Houston because of that lineup. But
yeah.
You know what? If Chris Sale and David Price are right, and Price hasn't been right, he's been hurt for a little bit now, and there are questions about him this year. If he's healthy, I think Boston, because in a short series facing that team, those pitchers, both lefties, so you're going to be relying on Brandon Guyer and Austin Jackson. It's a tough spot for Bradley Zimmer. And Boston's got a pretty good bullpen too. I mean, they're tough, and we saw it this week. I mean, you don't want to play a playoff game at Fenway Park.
Right.
I think we all expected when they took a 2-0 lead last year in the playoffs, it was like, okay, well, you know, it's still possible the series comes back to Cleveland for a game five. Obviously that didn't happen, but they're a tough team. I know their offense has struggled a lot this year, but even in that ballpark, I mean, Look at what happened the other night when they put up 12 runs and you can just poke one over the Green Monster. I mean, it's a tough team to play. And I think they're certainly more playoff tested than Houston is. And just with Houston starting pitching, I think they have questions. I think a lot of Indians fans are upset the Indians weren't more active at the deadline. Go find a Houston Astros website and read some of the comments. They didn't do anything either.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in cruise control right now atop the AL West. So, I don't think there will be any easy playoff series this year. I think both of those teams are tough. But if David Price is healthy, I don't really want to face him and Chris Sale in a short series.
I hear you. Good stuff, brother. I appreciate you joining me.
You got it, Chris. Thanks.
All right. There he is, Zach Meisel, Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer, joining on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline.